try to create a space somewhere for yourself that is your dedicated writing space. Now, that can be a room in your house. It could be a classroom on campus. It could be a table in the library. But wherever that is, you know, you need to try to designate that one area as your writing space. In other words, instead of bouncing around from your office or to your, you know, apartment, to a building somewhere on campus, try to maintain one space as your writing space. It's great if that can be at home, but that's often not the easiest place to write either. You have a lot of distractions at home. So if you can have a place away from your house, minimize some of those distractions, utilize it often. I know I used to use the library here in Edwardsville, and I would walk there and go downstairs to a particular table, and that's where I would write. And sometimes there'd be somebody at that table, and after we arm wrestled for it, I would reclaim it. But you also have to be somewhat flexible if it's not in a location that you control. So do realize that is something that you should do too. The other thing to do to maintain momentum, I think, is to try to, in some way, recreate the structure that we had here. And really by that, I mean, try to write before and after you start getting into your project. Anybody here ever played on an athletic team? Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you do first thing you usually got to practice?
You stretched and warmed up,
right? And the same thing with writing. You want to try to stretch your mind, stretch your writing muscles. So those writing prompts that we gave you in the morning each time were really designed just to get you to start thinking about the act of writing, right? So you can give yourself a prompt. You can go online and write, you know, type into Google ice-breaking writing prompts, and it'll give you a whole list of different things to think about. You know, you could write about for 5 minutes three people you'd love to have dinner with, whether they're dead or alive. You could write an open letter to your younger self. I always like to use that one, actually, with incoming freshmen especially. What would they tell themselves? You could write a congratulatory letter to yourself after what you finished. You know, anything you can do to kind of stretch your writing muscles and just get in the act of writing. Another thing that we'll sometimes do as an icebreaker or a writing activity is maybe we'll write a keyword associated with one of the problems we're having with our thesis or our project. Just write that word and then start writing all the words that you find associated with it. Again, it'll get you thinking about your project in new ways. I would also encourage you to write at the end of your writing time. Write about your summaries, summarize what you've done for that day. Write about the accomplishments. And then the same thing that we do every day here, write about what you plan to do next time. You know, if you ever read books about highly successful people, one of the very common threads among people who are successful is that they write lists a lot. They write lists of things to do during the day, and they write lists of things they have to accomplish in the future. So write down what you plan to do in the future at the end of your writing time. I would also encourage you to chunk your work. And by that, I mean, you know, if I told you that I want you to go out and move Mount Everest, you would look at that as an impossible task. But if you started by moving, you know, rock by rock, boulder by boulder, eventually, it might take, you know, millions of years, but eventually you could actually move a huge mountain, right? But you'd only do that through chunking your work. So I would encourage you to look at your thesis project or your writing project is something that is manageable in chunks. So whether that's for you, it's a section, or whether it's a page limit, whatever it is, establish chunks and work to accomplish those chunks. So some people work really well. They'll say, I'm going to write 500 words this morning. Okay, that's your chunk, right? Some people say, I want to write 4 pages. Okay, that's your chunk. Some people just say, I'm going to write, you know, for 2 hours. Okay, that's your chunk, right? But chunk your work. You have to carve out some time, right? You have to set some type of limits too. No one's going to probably be able to sit down and just write from the time they get up to the time they go to sleep. We have lives, we have other responsibilities, we have other distractions that will occupy some of our time. So try to think about your chunks in regards to time. Sometimes that will help greatly as well. If you do set time limits, I would make sure that you set some type of timer, right? It's easy to get lost in the task of writing too. So set a timer on your phone, set an egg timer on the kitchen counter, whatever. Set a timer, set it for an hour, 2 hours, and when that timer goes off, take a break. I used to do a lot of research with play theory, and that is getting people involved in the act of play in order to help them achieve certain tasks. And one of the things we used to do in the Writing Center a lot is we would talk to students about this. And we would have them, you know, write for maybe 20 minutes and then they take a 10-minute break. And then they write for 20 minutes and they take a 10-minute break. And if you try that on your own, you'd be surprised at how much you can actually get accomplished. Now, the break time can't exceed the amount of time you're supposed to be working, right?
No.
But, you know, maybe after 20, 25 minutes, you stop. That's when you get to check your phone. That's when you get to maybe get up and give the dog some water. That's when maybe you can, you know, open the window to look outside. But be focused and be, you know, intent in the activity that you're doing until you get to the point where you need to take that break. Right. But I would try to establish some type of time that you're going to work and then a time limit for your break as well. Because any of us will respond to rewards, right? Your reward for the end of the thesis is completion of the thesis. But I know many people at the end of the thesis, they're going to, you know, take a trip somewhere. They're going to buy themselves a steak dinner. But have some type of reward. And if you chunk your time and have that, you know, a little bit of reward at the end of, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes, whatever, you'll find that you get through your task much easier. One of the other things I would highly encourage you to do is act the part of a scholar. And by that I mean, you know, you all know how you work the best, right? You all know how it is maybe you dress feel successful or feel good about yourself. I would encourage you to get into that mindset or into that dress, if you will, before you start writing. You will feel much better about yourself. You'll be very engaged. I remember when I was writing my thesis, at the time I was kind of in between jobs. I had like a month and a half, 6 weeks, I think, where I wasn't employed. So I had like 6 weeks to work, and after the first couple days, I realized, like, I have no motivation to write this thesis because I have nothing else to do all day, and I think, right, you know, I can just do whatever I want. So I would actually get up, get dressed, and after I'd take the kids to school, I would come back in, turn around, go outside the house, shut the door, lock it, walk down the street, turn around, walk back, unlock the door, come in, and then I was in my writing space, right? It was my house at that particular time, but I was dressed, I was ready, I felt good, I was engaged. It wasn't just, you know, shuffling over to the computer and sitting down, banging out some words. It was, you know, establishing a very clear habit and making sure that I was acting the role of that scholar, right? So try to do that as well. And finally, probably one of the best pieces of advice I could give you is to form some type of a writing group, have an accountability partner, in other words, right? We have been here now for 3 days, we've been working on a project, and whether or not you realize it, the people in this room have become somewhat of an accountability partner to you, because you are probably a little apprehensive if Brian or I call on you and you have nothing to report, or I haven't written anything, I haven't done anything, I've just stared at the wall for 3 days. When you're on your own, you probably won't have someone ask you questions like this. Maybe you will. Maybe it'll be some, you know, long distance relative that gives you a call and you can easily say you've been very busy. But if you don't have someone that you directly contact every day or see every day, that accountability kind of washes out. So establish a group. We'll talk before we leave this afternoon about making contacts with people in here. If you want to set something up, I know at lunch, Katie had already talked about, you know, maybe trying to reserve this room over here, 1203 again, and have people come back tomorrow to keep writing. It's a great idea to continue to talk to the people that are in this group or establish a group within your cohort, but have someone else hold you accountable, have someone else, you know, kind of be that taskmaster. How many pages did you write today? What were they about? Can I see them? You know? And you can hold someone else accountable as well. You know, it works really well if you're both working on a project at the same time so that you can get that feedback.